If you would remain standing for the reading of the Gospel according to Mark, we begin in the 10th chapter, in the 13th verse. People were bringing little cheese children. Blech, I'm going to start again. Little cheese wheels. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up into his arms, and he laid his hands on them and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So today begins our series, as I talked about with the children, thinking about what the scriptures mean when they call the faithful children, as is often the case, or say that we must be like children, as Jesus says this morning. Now, most of us have either have children of our own or have worked closely with children or still are children or sometimes act like children. And every single one of us was at one point a child. So I think that we all know that there are things that kids say and do that do not lead us closer to Jesus. In fact, they sometimes bring out the devil in us. And there are some childlike qualities, like a lack of self-control, that we wish some adults would drop from their repertoire. But there are qualities of being a child that adults tend to lose as we get older and wiser. And if we could remember, if we can watch our children, or our children's children, or our children in our church family, Jesus says we can relearn these things and that they will help us to grow stronger in our faith. So this story is probably the sort of the quintessential story on which the entire scriptural motif comes from. If we believe that Jesus taught and did things, and then all the disciples and apostles and everyone who wrote down all the scriptures essentially interpreted them and brought them out and tried to find greater meaning from them, then probably he did this, and then they spent all this rest of this time trying to figure out what it was about, right? What did he mean? Now, I've preached up here before, and there's another story that's like this one, where his disciples are arguing about who is the greatest, and Jesus takes a child and sort of puts it in front of them. But he's making a little bit of a different point there, right? He's using for the child, using this, you know, other story, this other child, as an object lesson about dependence and humility. But in this case, Jesus isn't grabbing the children. The children are coming to him. They're being brought by their parents to receive a blessing from Jesus. I imagine a lot of us can relate to that too. Many of us were brought by our parents to church as kids to seek a blessing. Many of us remember being crammed into our Sunday best with those uncomfortable leather shoes that are still stiff because you only wear them once a week. With that shirt with the tight neck, the itchy tights, and the dress that you're not allowed to play in. Getting in the car, mama's running, putting on her makeup in the rearview mirror, singing, Go to Sunday school, go to Sunday school. Every Sunday morning, stay for preaching too. Maybe that was just my family. You might not be able to relate to that. Yeah, how many of us have had the same experience as these families that are trying to bring their kids to Jesus? As my mentor, Dr. Everett, used to say, I've heard of churches up north where well-meaning disciples of Jesus, like the disciples in this story, have forgotten for a minute that we're all children in God's sight. And instead of welcome, they greet children with scolding. Now, I don't think these disciples are mean-spirited or that they hate children. I just have a certain understanding about how you should approach Jesus. The theology is that we should come before Jesus with our best. Offer a certain decorum and propriety that children have more trouble mustering. Because children are fidgety and loud and inappropriate and basically children. Now, there's nothing wrong with approaching Jesus with your best. That's good theology, to offer your best to Jesus. But what Jesus wants his disciples to learn on this day here is that there is a deeper and more fundamental theology than that theology. Because Jesus welcomes the children just as they are. He gets down, if you imagine, onto their level. Can you see him? He scoops them up into his arms, the scriptures say, puts them on his knee. Maybe one of them tells them a long story about the new toy that she got and sort of rambles on, and Jesus knows there's all these people waiting for him, but he listens patiently. Maybe he's got a younger one and he lifts him up into his arms and puts him on his shoulder and he spits up down Jesus' back. Can you imagine the Lord of heaven and earth would spit up on his shawl, his cloak? Jesus laughs, blesses the children as children, just as they are, loud and squirmy and inappropriate. This is the theology that we reflect here so well at St. Paul. Our theology is that we welcome children to be themselves in worship. To be children, sometimes to be loud and sometimes squirmy and sometimes uncouth and sometimes they bang things on the pew, but we say that's okay because we want them here. We see how much we need them here. Because Jesus says we have a thing or two to learn from our children about faith. We invite our children to lead worship, to run our video, to read the scripture, because we reflect Jesus' deeper, more fundamental theology that he's teaching his disciples here, that Jesus sees us all as children and wants us to come just the way we are. Before we can give our best to God, we must first receive. We must first receive just the way we are, right where we are. And Jesus says, this is how you enter the kingdom of God. This is what faith looks like. This is a fundamental understanding of faith. That we come with our hands open to receive. Children can teach us that faith means to come as we are and receive grace instead of trying to earn it. Because fundamentally, children, as children, receive everything in their life as a gift. Children expect food to be provided. They expect shelter to be provided. They expect entertainment and toys. They need boundaries, and they expect that. Children don't act self-made. They don't pretend like they're going to get things for themselves. They don't pretend like they can make it on their own like so many of us do. Children are completely reliant on the people who take care of them. And the exception to this truth that we see on occasion only proves the rule, because we are so horrified to see children, to hear the story of a child like Darian who was forced to take care of himself. And we understand that that's wrong, and that's not how God's order is meant to be, and that we want to support someone, something to help him, to have something provided for him so he can receive what he needs. Because a child's posture is properly always one of receiving. Now, we know children may neglect the gift. They may take the gift for granted. They don't always appreciate the gift. So it is for us in our faith. God doesn't want us to do that, but what God wants even more than he doesn't want us to neglect or not appreciate his gift is he doesn't want us to not receive his gift, to put ourselves in a place where we're not available and able to receive the grace that God is generously wanting to give us all the time. So kindergarten faith is simply orienting yourself to God as one who is ready to receive a gift. Kids in this story, we don't know much about them. We can assume that at least some of them grow up. They're old enough to remember. They'll never forget that Jesus scolded the adults, that Jesus brought them close, got down on their level, held them in his arms, and blessed them. We can offer that posture to our children. They'll never forget that they matter to God. They'll never forget that they have potential to do great things in God's kingdom because they were told that the kingdom of God belongs to them. They'll never forget that they were blessed by Jesus himself. No matter what happens, no matter what they do, no matter what is done to them, they will always have Jesus' blessing to fall back on. And this is the blessing that we offer when we baptize our children. The blessing of Jesus Christ. It's the same assurance that Martin Luther grasped onto, the great reformer, in his darkest times when he knew people were trying to kill them. He was hiding away, and he recited, "Remember, you are baptized." Our baptism is our blessing from Jesus. Each one of us, a reminder that we are accepted just the way we are. Before we have done anything that is proper or worthy, we are accepted and given grace by God. When we remember our baptized, remember that we are baptized, we remember that grace is given freely. And faith, at its most fundamental level, is simply to receive. To receive the kingdom of God like a child receives a gift on his or her birthday. On this Mother's Day, we give thanks for our mothers who drug us to church. and also to all of our mothers in the church, the women who've poured into us as children. And we give thanks to the women of St. Paul who pour into our children as their own children, like this one. Because by our baptism in Jesus Christ, they are. In our baptism, we are all young and old, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, children of God. No matter how old and experienced we are children to God. And God wants us to come every time we come before Him as children. For our Heavenly Father, who wants to take us into His arms, because He got down on our level in Jesus Christ. And He wants to show us love and grace and bless us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.